This episode is sponsored by VTech.
In today's episode of Heads in the Cloud, Graham and I talk to a longtime Star2Star partner. We chat about everything from mustard to ham to dogs. Of course, dogs. We always talk about dogs.
We always talk about dogs. Or pets in general.
Business to old school switchboards, everything in between. So stay tuned. It's going to be a great episode. If you hear any thunder in the background, don't worry. It's just for
we're sorry.
Heads in the Cloud. With your hosts, David Portnowitz and Graham Potter.
Thunderstorm. Hello.
Hello. Welcome to today's episode of Heads in the Cloud. I'm David Portnowitz.
And I'm Graham Potter.
Thanks for joining us. Konnichiwa to all of our Japanese listeners out there.
Oh, yeah. International fans. Big shout out.
Absolutely. Yeah. We had to shout them out specifically. So, this episode I am looking forward to tremendously because we were having one of our longtime partners on the episode.
Value partner for this since 2013, I believe.
We'll have to double check that with them. Propel You Forward, they're based in Cincinnati, in the Midwest ish area, and have been with us like you said 4 or 5 years. And I know them specifically because we do a lot of marketing work with them, and they're a real active partner with our marketing team. And they're great guys, absolutely great guys to work with, and excited to talk to them about their experience with us and what they're doing and what their business is up to. And, listeners, if you hear any booms in the background, that's not Graham. That's not his stomach. That's thundering.
Feed me.
We're having a Florida thunderstorm.
Major thunderstorm going on out there.
You know, these thunderstorms, they seem like every time we get, it's like a mini tropical storm. I mean, like, you go up outside, it's like wind is blowing like 50 miles an hour.
We worry about all these storms coming at you. We get them regular as clockwork anyway, don't we? Almost every day, like 30 mile an hour winds and plenty of rain and whatever. I'm going to have to borrow one of your marketing umbrellas, David, I think.
No, we're out.
Oh, damn. So I stay dry.
Yeah. No, it's
all good.
It's wet out there. Stay dry.
It's wet out there.
Absolutely. Okay. So what's going on in your world, Mr. Potter?
Well, trying to keep my head above water, as you know, or the storm. You know? So, same.
You've been running or no?
No, sadly. No. One or two little health challenges at the moment, but we're hoping.
You need new shoes, is what you're saying.
No. Oh, I wish it were new shoes, but
I was trying to plug you so you could maybe plug some shoes.
Plug some shoes.
So that way we could get some shoe,
of the particular brand.
Right, do you run in a Brooks?
The A brand.
New Balance,
the A brand that I run in all the
A6.
Time, you mean? Don't mention the name. So, no, yeah, I am hoping I'm probably a couple of weeks away from venturing out. And I'm actually looking forward to it, a couple of good reasons. One, for hopefully getting back to fitness again. But the other big thing is they just installed a bunch of pathways around my my area.
Oh, so you're no longer in danger of getting
killed. Make it that much easier for me to go out and run, because I can tell you, listeners, people do not pay attention on the road.
Well, especially in
Florida. Stay off those mobile phones.
Yeah,
usually give people about 75 yards, and if I can't see the whites of their eyes and they spot me, I'm in the ditch. So, got to be careful. Fred, our producer's nodding profusely here, but he's a runner also, so you know what I'm referring to.
What do you think about we're in a different studio today. What do you think about this studio?
It's a little drab. I think it needs spicing up a little bit, maybe.
I can't see you. You're like on another side of a partition here. This is odd.
Yeah, it's maybe we'll have to dismantle this piece of the partition and what have you, so we can see each other. But
very hard
to
do.
Other than that, it's...
I need to see the whites in his eyes before the podcast correctly.
I want to be able to throw things at you. But no, it'll do, it's better than that metal container that we've been in before now, but
absolutely.
I think it just needs a little bit of TLC, so
I think I might have found a new desk chair though in here.
You look pretty cool in that.
This is a nice
chair, I think
I'm gonna steal this chair, put it in my office. I've been looking for a desk chair such as this. I didn't know it's hiding back here.
Nice, okay. we'll make sure the door's locked after we leave.
Absolutely.
So,
all right, should we get it to our interview?
Yeah,
I think
we should. We're gonna call him up.
Yeah, let's call him. Les,
call him up right now.
Get him on the hopper.
Get him on the hopper. Get him on the dog. Get him on the dog and bone.
Let me plug in the plug board.
The plug board.
One in the front.
Oh, that old school. I didn't know it was called the plug board.
Yeah, it's a plug.
That's like what those old, like when they used to move those. So how did that work? Exactly. So like what, a plug someone board? Called. Like, yeah, what number did you call? For
so
that? I always
I'll
wondered
tell you
this.
Exactly what happened.
Okay,
right?
Tell me.
Depending upon the technologies, and yeah. there are a few around.
This was. Can we get like what years was this? Was so like what?
Well,
was this like
I started. I started
in the 50s?
4th of October 1971. Right.
So this was still happening in the 70s.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
I thought it was. I thought it was like a
no.
30s
no.
thing.
And so it goes way back.
Yeah.
But the board would be manned by an operator.
Mm-hmm.
There'd be a series of chords. There would be an incoming call indicator, usually with a light, right?
Yeah, but how did the person solenoid. On the other end know?
Just dial. You just dial a regular phone number like you dial a phone number today, right? And that would ring this little light
yeah.
and ring this actuator that had a little solenoid in it, and it vibrated,
mm-hmm.
and so they'd know to answer the call. They answer the call. Can I speak to David Portnowitz? So they take another chord associated with that first line cord they plugged in and plug it into David's slot.
But how do they know, like, I was on, how do they know, like, there's a bazillion people in the world. How do they know to put it in that slot?
Well, because they know that's David's slot in there. Your extension might be number
yeah, but like,
10
what
it, or whatever.
Was, I'm confused, though, because, like, wasn't this, like, for just, like, general calling? Like, or is it only for, like, calling into an office or something
so
like that?
Calling in, you're office. Calling into an office, right? So,
but
so,
I thought they used them for, like, just general calling. Like, if I'm going to call, like, Les or I'm going to call
you. Could do. You could do.
But how do they know that? It's this whole thing's, I don't
know. Oh,
I don't
David, think, you're making it so complicated.
That's why at one point AT&T employed 3 million people.
Just to switch calls.
Yeah, it's just a cross-connect, a panel. So that
I get
panel
that, but, like,
represents
how did they know
the
that, like, okay, but like, okay, forget the company side of it. If you're just calling me at my house.
Okay, so if I'm going to call you at your house as an operator on one of those things,
yeah.
I'd plug into a line socket.
Yeah.
And I'd get dial tone.
Yeah.
In my ear. Boo.
Yeah.
I'd have a dial pad and I would dial your
oh,
number.
Oh, so the operator is actually doing the calling.
Correct.
So you pick up the phone and you just say,
and
call
I'll say
this
to
number.
You, and I call you and I said, David, and you say, yes, I got a call for you from Fred. Mm. And then I would take another set of cords associated with that, plug it into Fred's socket or Fred's jack on this panel
mm-hmm.
in my switchboard, and you two would be connected together. Before, and there'd be lights on there, and those lights would go out
when the
caller finished, and I could pull the cords.
Before they invented automated self-dialing, they estimated, AT&T estimated, that they would have to hire every woman in the United States to employ as a switchboard operator. Every single one.
Well, that seems a little sexist.
Those things are fascinating, though, those boards. Those early boards.
Yeah.
When you lifted the phone as an extension, and we had them in the UK, used to call them doll's eye boards. And they
spell
had like
that,
a little
please?
Doll's, a doll, D-E-L-L, doll.
Wait,
I,
a D-E-L-L?
D-O-L-L, doll.
D-O, okay. Yeah. Let's, that one
and it
down.
Looks like a little ping pong ball, and it would pop down, and it would yeah. have a number written in it, and that was the number of your extension. Right?
It was like Minority Report.
If you
know,
say
with a little
so.
Ping pong ball
you
that popped
so,
out.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, yeah. You say so.
You better chase
but yeah,
Tom
that's,
Cruise.
That's it, all basic stuff. And you know what used to talk about animals and what have you? What used to live in the back of switchboards and like them because they were warm?
Lizards.
Were things like rats and mice and whatever. They used to chew through the cables. So, yeah, I could tell you lots of experience of working on switchboards.
We need to find an old switchboard operator, have them come on the podcast. You know anybody?
Yeah, probably.
Maybe give them an old call. Get it? It's like a switchboard pun. Anyways, let's have the interview.
Wow, that was hard work.
I, you know what? It's one of those things I've always wondered, like, how that worked. I got the concept, but like, I just didn't know the mechanics behind it.
Yeah, I worked right. on the, I worked on those as a young lad in the post office many, many years ago. But there you go.
They got a lot of calls in the post office.
Yes, and then it became British Telecom.
Who's calling the post office? All right, let's go to the.
Let's move on. I think these guys are probably going to go if we haven't called them by now. I think they've gone.
All right, here we go. I'd like to welcome today's guests, Kevin Emmeheiser and Jeff Donatini from Propel You Forward. Propel You Forward has been a partner with Star to Star for a bit now. And welcome to both of you guys. Thanks so much for joining us today.
It's Thank great to be here.
Yeah, welcome to you both. So let's get right to it. And David, you kind of stumbled there. Been a partner for...
yeah, I didn't have that answer. So how many years have you guys been a partner?
2014.
Nice research by our producer here. Thanks for the notes.
2014, are we talking? Am I correct?
Yeah, actually, yeah. I think 2013, initial contact there was Laura.
Okay.
Oberly.
Yeah, yep.
Okay.
She's great.
She's still around. She's awesome.
Yep. So I moved up the food chain some.
Good. So yeah. I think I've met Jeff before. I think your face looks familiar, but maybe you've got one of those faces, and I probably have as well.
I was down there for the installer certification and training in 15.
Okay.
And yes, we met.
Okay, so I was probably walking the hallways. So
you probably gave a presentation.
I may well have done. Maybe I did. Maybe I did.
Did a presentation.
Don't hold that against me. So why don't we find out a bit about yourselves? I'd love to know a little bit more about individually about Kevin and then Jeff. Can you tell us a bit about your background, starting with Kevin?
Yeah, started in technology actually at the beginning, even before the internet was what it is even remotely close today. Started traveling around. About a 4-state area doing seminars on doing business on the internet. From there, kind of got recruited by MCI. So that's going back a long time. And then from there, went to a facility-based CLEC as a product development guy. And from there, and that's where I met Jeff. He was a client. And then from there launched, it was KEI Communications. We just did a name change to Propel You Forward. Probably back in 2011, just to kind of reflect where we saw technology going and what we wanted to kind of project as a company.
And how long have you guys, did you guys start the business together?
No, Jeff, you can speak to that, but Jeff was the CTO at the time for Honeybaked Ham.
Duh.
And so we helped manage 60 plus locations plus corporate. We did their voice. We did at that time a frame relay network, wide area network for them. And then from there, so Jeff and I have been friends for over 20 years.
Wow, pretty cool.
And I'll let Jeff kind of speak to his transition.
Yeah, give us a bit about your background, Jeff.
All right. If you go back to the beginning of time, I look a lot older than I am.
You only look about 25 or so.
A lot of wear and tear, but I started actually with IBM on the infrastructure side out of college doing wide area network, AS400, RS6000 type integration. And then left there when they moved from Cincinnati down to Atlanta. And I ended up taking a job with Cincinnati Bell, who's kind of like the regional telephone provider here in Cincinnati on the technology solution side. And started Zoomtown in Cincinnati, which was the first, let's call it, broadband internet service provider, web hosting, that type of stuff. And we went and we did large projects for like the University of Cincinnati, a lot more on the infrastructure side, integrating voice and data at the time before VoIP came along. And then I left there for an opportunity at Honeybaked Ham, who was a client, and became their CTO, CIO, and managed that environment for 21 years.
Wow.
Until they sold it. And always stayed close to the infrastructure, voice and data side of the world. I mean, I had a bunch of programmers and network guys, you know, server type guys, and long, extensive background in retail. Because we also would help out a lot of our franchisees, which was about 100 or so of those, and help, you know, and that's kind of how we kind of came about to Propel You Forward. As when they sold IBM, I found myself in the typical 55-year-old plus position of what do I do with my life now? And Kevin and I got talking. I said, you know what? I'd love to still continue to stay current and dabble in it. And I knew what he was doing, and I knew what I could add to the picture as far as the small to mid-sized corporations were involved that either A, don't have an IT infrastructure, or B, you know, it's their nephew of some kind, you know what I'm saying? And so then Kevin and I joined up, and I'm the technical guru of the equation, and Kevin's the sales guy.
Awesome. Great.
And you said Propel You Forward is the second name of the company. So what was the original name?
At KEI Communications, which is just the initials of myself and my three daughters. My wife, and she didn't tell me this for several years, but was really felt rejected and hurt that somehow our initials didn't end up. I'm like, well, Jacqueline Grimes and K.E., you know, so it's Kelsey, Katie, and Kayla, and Kevin.
I got you.
Already ruled.
There you go.
And then you changed the name to Propel You Forward, and yeah. Tell us a little bit about...
Part of that was a technology shift, but also a business shift. So
right.
When I launched KEI, it was really all harnessed around being a master agent, because that was early on in the, you know, the C-Left era. UNEP was still a new way for companies to start and get into the local telecom. But I established the largest footprint in the United States for being a kind of a one-stop shop for people to come to us for local services instead of dealing with multiple suppliers. So really the intent was we recruited master agents. You know, we went to all the shows, kind of rode that crazy roller coaster,
yeah,
that
yeah.
technology through, you know, all the, you know, from companies like Allegiance and you can name 100 of them, right? They went out
sure,
of business and,
sure.
and took our customers with them and the revenue. So that's that. So when you started to think about where you want to go and where's technology going, I just thought it made sense to kind of do a name change.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Well, one, we support that fully because we also have a number in our company name. So I think that sort of makes us like brethren from a company name, company naming standpoint, yeah. right? We have the two, you have the four. and so tell us a little bit about Propel You Forward and what you guys do today and sort of where your focus is and how you sort of came upon Star to Star.
So, yeah, one of the things that I had done early on is started doing international termination.
Okay.
So it was our first entree into SIP termination. And we did some domestic termination. And through some of the relationships that I had established doing that type of termination, we actually started doing hosted VoIP early on and went through some very rough periods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say that was probably challenging times for you, I would think. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So from there, really decided that I wanted to find somebody that was rock solid. I mean, I believed in the technology. I saw where it was going. And during that search, came across Star to Star and, as I mentioned earlier, Laura. And that really kind of cemented me with respect to, you know, who we were going to use as our partner for the hosted solution.
Cool.
And then the further trying to figure out how I landed and really back and support Star to Star is at Honeybaked, our whole voice network was a hosted environment based off of BroadSoft switch.
Okay.
And knowing the limitations and some of the configuration that I always have to go through and being hosted by Cincinnati Bell, because I was a gold partner at the time, that was kind of a good environment to be in. When I got introduced to Star to Star and the technology that you guys had, as well as the reliability, and the fact that you had that hybrid solution played huge benefit from how I could deploy that, you know, environment in places. Because I'd always run into, you know, the typical situation of, you know, the internet goes down, Office A can't call Office B.
Right?
And a hybrid solution gave me the perfect solution.
Yep.
Not to mention, you know, the reduced bandwidth requirements for it, the fact that it's holding dual configurations in the cloud, the fact that, you know, devices are registering to it, and it just to me, it just simplified the entire process. Now, with that said, you know, if I only had one or two, or a customer that had one or two phones, you know, and I would look at the hosted environment because they may not need that resiliency or that redundancy or
file
backup or those types of things. So, you know, star to star, really, from a partner standpoint, even though I can still sell BroadSoft, I never do it because you guys beat them every time. I'll put them side to side just for talking points, but 99 times out of 100, it ends up being star to star.
Wow!
And ignore my dog that's going
sounds
crazy.
Sounds like you better feed him. He sounds like he's on the prowl.
Well, he wants to eat the UPS guy.
Well, that answers our question for later on, Graham. We know at least one of them got a dog.
As I saw an advert and a joke thing the other day with someone with a sneaker, and they got like a great big bone and stuck it in there and kind of threw it out in the yard to scare off anybody coming to the house and whatever. Looks like somebody chewed a leg off. I thought it was really funny. I'm going to take a picture of it. So, yeah, we're getting into pets and animals in a bit.
Yeah, save really, the pets for later. You're jumping the gun there a little bit.
Jeff, it's really interesting you're talking about that. And having been with the organization, you know, since we started all those years ago in 2006, and we had this kind of this box, you know, we had this solution, and really almost embarrassingly, we didn't call it a hybrid because people tried to pigeonhole the company. Said, well, you're hosted. Well, we are and we need to be. Okay, you have an on-prem device. Well, yeah, we do for some things. And so people in the industry really didn't know how to kind of pigeonhole star-to-star at that stage.
The position.
Yeah, and we started calling it a blended architecture for quite a long time, almost out of the fact that, you know, nobody understood hybrid. And then I don't know how many years ago now, probably three or more years ago.
Well, I think it was about probably 3 or 4 years ago, ShoreTel sort of decided they were going to have a hybrid solution or so they thought.
The term started to evolve.
Terminology more.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. And so we sort of like, hey, that's us.
Yeah. Hey, we've been doing that for 10 years. Yeah. So
I have a lot of questions about ham in general. Should we save those for a different podcast or is now the time to ask those?
I would probably save those for different podcasts.
I think Jeff makes a mean bean soup with some ham. So
Well, there's good chili in Cincinnati. That's what it's known for, right?
Cincinnati is known for Cincinnati style chili, Gold Star, and Skyline.
Skyline, yes.
However, I grew up in Canton, Ohio, so when I moved to Cincinnati and they introduced me to Cincinnati chili, I'm like, wait a minute, chili doesn't have spaghetti noodles in it. and where are the beans and onions, right?
Oh, I love it.
So, I was used to Texas-style chili, up north, right? Traditional chili.
I went to a wedding in Cincinnati, gosh, probably like 3 or 4 years ago to a good friend. And at the end of the wedding, midnight or so, they had a bunch of Skyline chili and chili dogs.
Right.
So you could eat that at the end of the wedding. So like, you know, cause you've been drinking and yada, yada, yada. So it was pretty cool. I enjoyed it. It was good. It was like a make your own chili kind of thing.
That's the new trend in these weddings is, you know, you go there, you have a big dinner, you dance, whatever. Then everybody's all, you know, three sheets to the wind. They bring in the drunk food.
Exactly.
That's a really interesting term you just used there, a phrase. That's a very English term, three sheets. I mean, I thought you were talking about
drunk food.
Well, I've got a lot of other good ones we can use, but we can't use them on here. But three sheets to the wind is exactly what I would say. So I feel like we're kindred spirits here.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, I was going to take it back a little bit to propel you forward. We can go back to the chili at the end, but so what are the kind of customers that you guys look for today? What is the right fit for you, or you know what are the challenges they have, and sort of how do you go in and solve them?
Yeah, so I used to have a model that we partner primarily with right now IntelliSys and Intelligration. And so kind of was a jack of all trades as far as a company goes with respect to, you know, still solutions driven, but really didn't really hone in on any specific technology.
Mm-hmm.
So that changed probably about 2.5 years ago. We're really kind of focusing in on unified communications as a service, cybersecurity, IoT, and broadband. So typically our perfect fit, if you're to look at the current customer portfolio,
yeah,
it's the small user, 50 users or under, limited or no IT department, you know, and SD-WAN. Right. I mean, SD-WAN is another thing that we do quite a bit of.
Everybody.
So I think for us now, what we're – I made it a huge attempt and still am to start to move upstream.
Yeah.
And I think some, is what you guys are. I mean, what we found was once we kind of crossed over the 200 user to 500 user, it sometimes – and we really only exclusively are using Star2Star for our unified communications as a solution. And so I would still say that our perfect customer is one or two. The customer, the business that doesn't have an IT, strong IT department or no IT department, and they need all of the skill sets that we bring to the table. And the second one is the larger organizations that really don't want to divert their IT resources away from their core platforms. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're a nice fit. And unified communications is usually typically one of those services that most larger corporations don't want to, you know, redirect their resources. So really, we haven't made huge inroads into that larger, but literally this entire year I've spent more time, energy, and effort in going in that direction, as well as still servicing. And that's what I love. We're probably going to get to more with the hub that you have and our ability now to integrate, you know, a multimedia social media campaign. So that's kind of where we're at. We found great success in 50 or under user, and we have some bigger, right? And again, that was a perfect, Jeff can probably speak to that, but Ferno is one of our customers that's 200 and some users, I think.
Nice.
And again, they use lean on us because they don't have the resources or want to have the resources to take it to manage that kind of stuff.
So I have two sort of sub questions on that. One is, do you consider yourself an MSP, or do you consider yourself a, like, sort of, how do you, or do you not even sort of think about that, and you're just an IT like provider company? I mean, is that a thought process you guys have?
I can kind of answer that. I would say, back to the term hybrid.
Yeah.
I would say we're, I kind of look at us as an MSP for the simple fact that we do go after the smaller customers, whether they retail or just general business. But what I find when I go into them, the whole networking infrastructure that they have in place, whether it be a firewall, whether it be managed switches, whatever, is non-existent, whether it be security cameras. So, you know, when Kevin and I started Propel, you know, I said, hey, you know, the unified communication is great. I said, but we're missing a golden egg here on the network infrastructure side.
Yeah.
Now, we don't really care to be desktop guys. However, once in a while, I get involved with that. But as far as being able to walk into an organization and say, hey, we can provide you with your network infrastructure, your firewall, managed switches, security cameras, and unified communication, and it's a one-stop, and your internet access. It's a one-stop shop. It's one number to call.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that the SD-WAN solution that we sell is obviously the Meraki Cisco stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's all cloud-based. So, you know, when they make a phone call and they've signed up for everything, I can look at everything and anything from the portal. I can even test the freaking, you know, data cable. So, and there's a lot of people that sit there and say, you know what? I'd like to not have to worry about that at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
You guys take it. Give me a monthly fee. If there's some press special projects, you know, we'll throw them your way. Other than that, I can manage my business and grow my business. And I know if I have a problem with anything, I call. So I would say we're not officially a managed service provider because we don't have, you know, a big monitoring, you know, environment, whatever. But in essence, Star2Star is monitoring the unified communication and Cisco's monitoring the network.
Sure.
So, you know, I get alerts and whatnot, but now I'm not looking, you know, we don't have a terminal set up.
Right, right.
pinging devices every 15 seconds, right? And taking action. So,
are you seeing that a lot of customers are asking about SD-WAN, or is it you guys explaining the benefits of SD-WAN and them sort of saying, yes, that's what we've been looking for? Or are they coming to you saying, I need help with my network? I've got these folks over here that are watching YouTube videos, and I've got these folks over here that are trying to download these giant packets of information, and my network is suffering issues. You know, what can you do? Or how does that conversation come up? Because listen, we hear a lot of SD-WAN. I don't know if you guys know, we now sell our own SD-WAN solution that's powered by Big Leaf. So, I mean, it's something that we're keen in understanding a little bit more of, and how those conversations come up.
Well, in my world, like Kevin will initially engage somebody just on the unified communication side of it. And then I end up getting involved and I look at the environment, right? And if it's a retail environment, since I have a retail background, you've got point of sale equipment, so forth and so on.
Mm-hmm.
These ma and pa's don't understand what PCI compliance is.
Oh, sure.
Right? And they just think, well, my broadband router is my firewall. It's like, right. Well, that's a loose definition. and actually, if it were to have intrusion detection thrown at it for PCI compliance, you would fail miserably. And here's your liability for not having something like that. And then a lot of times, I see a D-Link router, or mm-hmm. I'll see this router, and I see, 10 different switches in place. And, the first word, I mean, it's an easy conversation to have, because they sit there and say, well, I'm hesitant about doing voice over IP because my network always goes down.
Oh yeah, that's beautiful. That's a very easy transition.
Small wonder when, yeah.
Right. So as soon as they make that comment, yeah. I'm like, well, we've got the star-to-star platform where, if your network's going down because you don't have a reliable ISP,
mm-hmm.
we can solve that. Right. I can solve it really one of two ways. I can put SIM cards in the Meraki's, right? I have the failover go back and forth. Now you guys got your new SD-WAN product where you can support multiple connections and have seamless failover. But even with your solution for somebody like Furno would be great, but then you still need the SD-WAN Cisco Meraki for the firewall element, right? So really, those two product lines now, I have a little model I have together and say, here's, it's basically like going to the grocery store, checkbox the options you want.
Yeah.
And here it is.
That's awesome. Now,
yeah.
Go ahead, Kevin.
I can speak. I mean, that SD-WAN still is a new term that I find, even as I move upscale a little bit, is still foreign.
Yeah.
And I think until you really get into a true enterprise organization where SD-WAN kind of had its teeth, right? That was, it was to come in and simplify, updating routing tables and all the expense and the resource it took to do that. But it's expanding, as Jeff was saying. I mean, the way we use SD-WAN today, I would say, isn't really in the true nature of its application. But it works really well. And I think just as you guys have gone to the all-inclusive, now that you can go to clients, big or small, and say, hey, look, we can take this out of a CapEx, move it over to the operating X side of your balance sheet, and it's manageable, it's a budget item, and you know what your costs are going to be month in and month out, year in and year out. And I think that is as big of a selling point as what the technology itself does.
That's that's interesting. I mean, that's good to hear. I mean, that's awesome. That's cool.
What are some of the industry things that you're interested by? I mean, obviously, there's a lot of movement and noise in the marketplace. Obviously, a lot of consolidation. Interesting. I just came off a webinar this afternoon for all service providers for Polycom or Plantronics Polycom, and. Really, this year I think alone has seen I don't know how many mm-hmm. lost lost count of the number of companies that have kind of merged and acquisitions. What's your feelings around that and the disruption it causes in the marketplace as well?
Yeah, you know, I mean, again, given the niche that we're kind of in right now, I mean, none of that stuff isn't even on our radar screen. Personally, I think the fact that we have settled on Starter Star, my emphasis is, okay, what are they doing?
Yeah.
Right? Where are they in the marketplace? Where are they at from a product standpoint? Where are they at from a financial strength positioning?
Sure.
What are they looking to do? But, I mean, the industry is as a whole is just, it's still, right? The growth is estimated to grow from, I think, today you're talking $22 billion to, mm-hmm. you know, $61 billion by 2020. I think adoption of not only unified communications as a service, it's no longer cutting edge, no, right? It's no longer like a trend. It's really, truly a business application that most businesses need to adopt. And the more they understand the benefits, as Jeff was alluding to, but, you know, we're getting ready to do an install next week at a logistics company, small logistics. But if you would go in and see how they operate today, and then we explain to them all the benefits that we can bring to them with a unified communication solution, they just really didn't know that existed. So yeah. I think from an industry, even though we see a lot of disruption, you know, whether it's IoT, whether it's mergers and acquisitions, for us personally, it doesn't really even come into play because we are talking to customers who are, you know, doing everything they can do on a day-to-day basis to be successful in what they do. Not really, hey, what's the technology? So kind of what you alluded to, you know, what do we do? I say we're a gap filler. That's who we are as an organization. We're a solutions provider who fills the gaps in your organization. So we want to come in and allow you to stay laser focused on your core business. Let us come in and partner with you to bring the technology that's going to help you achieve your organizational missions, whether you're a 3-person shop or a 300-person business. Those gaps still exist at every level. And I think we are perfectly suited with partners like Starter Star to be crazy successful. So I'm somewhat excited. I keep telling Britta Johnson, I mean, she's another, you know, great resource. I mean, I love working with Britta. I think Jeff does too. I could deal probably more with her, but I keep saying, hey, we want to do 10 sales a month, 10 sales a month, 10 sales a month. So
I think Britta would like that too.
Yeah, I'm sure she would.
I think Britta would like that too. Yeah,
that's got to be pretty exciting though, Kevin, when you go into a company like you just mentioned, you know, small logistics operation, and you open their eyes to some of the kind of UCaaS things that we pretty much take for granted now. You know, I mean, we've been around it for so long. And it's exciting to be able to, you know, talk about this sort of stuff with companies that really haven't yet got into.
Well,
that
I mean,
type
Gartner still estimates that 65 to 75% of the marketplace has not adopted VoIP.
Moved. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, there's still millions and millions of companies out there that have not moved and don't even know. They may not even know these options exist for them and what they, I mean, like you said, and so it presents a ton of opportunity. But you have to keep moving forward too, like your name is. So I think you really have to try to stay on the cutting edge, try to be forward thinking, try to keep the customer informed. So I think you guys are doing all the right things. Now, I will say we've been very excited. Obviously, I run the marketing department. We've been really excited about you guys in our new our partner marketing hub. I think you've been our most active partner in the partner marketing hub, which is awesome. So thank you so much for joining in on that. And if you have anything nice to say, I'll gladly take it and relay the message to Trish.
Oh, go on, milk it, David.
Yes, I'm milking it now. This is the David. I'm going to take this for a testimonial section.
I put in here like one of the things was, you know, what about. Just trying to view my notes, but you know, it's really nice when you can have a relationship with a provider such as Starter Star, where you trust and enjoy working with the people. I mean, me more than Jeff, but I beat my head sometimes every day trying to get people to do providers to mm-hmm. do what they say they're going to do because our livelihood
absolutely
right depends on that. And so none of us are perfect, but when there are issues, I know that when if we go to somebody like Brad or Kevin McGrath or even Trish on the marketing side, I mean, every time I need something or want to bounce something off of her, you know, they've been great. I can't say I've ever been disappointed. And that's, you know, not any fluff. It's just the truth. I mean, I've been doing this for a long time, and I work with a lot of providers, you know. Right.
And we take pride in that, honestly. I mean, that's if you ask people who work here what is our goal as a company, it is to be the friendliest company in the channel. And it's not something – it's some, you know, we hear a lot of other companies in this space talk about it, but because we sell 100% through partners, it's in every decision we make. It's core to the platform. It's core to our thinking. It's core to how we sell. It's core to how we market. It's core to how we do tech support. So it's not something you can just say and then be like, oh, yeah, we're going to do it. You literally have to think about it in every step of the process. And I think that has been, as much as our technology has been great, that's been our secret sauce, right? I mean, that has been what has been the success. It's the focus on the partner. Yeah. So it means a lot to hear you say that.
And then even from the tech support side, I mean, it's been stellar. Now, I don't have one of those special.
You don't have a priority code.
You haven't got a special code.
But for the most part, you know, response time is pretty quick. You know, I mean, I've had a lot of experience over the years with, you know, the old T systems and, you know, PBX type stuff. So, you know, going the star to star, a lot of the terminology is the same.
Mm-hmm.
But what I find is from a technical standpoint, flexibility, there is yet to be something I want to do and not have some type of workaround for it. Or if I need to find something, if I call tech support, you know, they're pretty much, since they're talking the same lingo as me, pretty much can get it resolved. Because, I mean, I'm getting ready to do an install in 2 weeks, overhead paging. Going to be the fourth one we've had overhead paging, and there isn't a hosted solution out there right now that can integrate into overhead paging. Just you can't do it because they don't support the ATAs.
Yep.
But you know, I mean, if I don't normally cry wolf, but on the rare occasion when I do, like, oh, you know, I forgot a DID for a fax line or something, you know, I mean, you guys' turnaround is just fantastic. I mean, the whole group.
Well, I appreciate that. Obviously, yeah, nice listen, we're not perfect, but we, you know, it's our
never
stride.
Profess to be, but we always like working with partners. We get a lot of satisfaction out of that, and I think you'll see that as if you come to the building and you get the chat to someone, meet some of the people live. But it's fun. It's like working with you guys. Yeah. We have a lot of fun, a lot of respect for our partners. So
I know we're bumping up on our 3 minutes, but yeah. I would say this from the Marketing Hub and the reason you're seeing the volume. It's for me, it really has simplified and standardized the ability for you to leverage what that actually does. You know, and so to me, because I'm doing 90% of it, somebody else that does some of it, but it makes it simple.
Good.
And I think if you have partners that aren't utilizing it, they just need to be exposed to it because it's so
makes it easy.
I guess is the best word to use.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And the content is great. It's rich. I mean, I love the fact that you can do drip campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that I can go in and I can see the activity. I love the fact that I can integrate all my social media. So and we're still working it. You know, I just had a call with Trish. I said, hey, I want to find out who else is doing this and where else our success is coming from. You know, she's like, well, hey, if you want to do personalized content, we're all for it. We love doing it. So I mean, what more could you ask for from a partner? So I, you know, I appreciate the fact that you guys have gone to those lengths.
That's great. Well, we've taken up far too much of your time. I know David's got one last thing for.
Yeah, we always like to know
Kevin and Jeff.
Well, we know for sure.
We
already heard one dog in the background.
Well, it's either that or he's got a wolf in the background there.
There's a bear back there. What kind of dog? Do you have any pets, Kevin?
No, I don't have any pets. I never have, but there
good
have been
man.
Pets in my house.
Good man.
That don't belong to me. They're my wife's. I love animals as long as they're not in my house.
I would agree with that 100%.
A frog or a toad or whatever. But yeah,
oh, we've had all sorts on this this program, Kevin.
Well,
we?
And let's be clear: the dog that you heard is my son's dog.
Oh, really? Okay. It sounded big.
It didn't sound small.
I call him a Florida brown dog because my son used to live down in Clearwater and he moved back here to Cincinnati. And he is now, and you guys will laugh at this, he is 25% Chihuahua, 25% Rhodesian Ridgeback.
I don't even know what that is.
Big dog, 25% Chow, another big dog.
That's a big dog, wow. Yeah.
And like whatever, 10 or 15% of lab, and then the rest is who knows. So I've always wondered the question, how did the Chihuahua get in the mix?
I was going to say, yeah, that makes your mind boggle a little bit, doesn't it? That's scary.
And what's funny is he's I don't know, he's about 40 pounds, stands about, I don't know, 18 inches.
And it's all about diversity.
Yeah, he's a diversity dog. His tongue is a chow, his tail's a chow, his bill's a Rhodesian Ridgeback, and his legs are a Chihuahua.
That's awesome.
Chow, man, chows are.
I think we got to have a photograph so that we can post it when you broadcast this podcast.
Yeah,
you know, I think our listeners are going to.
What's the name? What's the name of this mutt?
George,
love it.
George, the Florida brown dog.
I like the sound of George.
He's an aggressive dog. He doesn't like strangers.
Well,
and obviously,
yeah, David, he would have you, mate.
This guy's here every day, right? And he wants to eat him every day.
It's a lot of Amazon packages.
Yeah.
All righty.
All right, guys. Well, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Really appreciate the time. And I'm sure we'll talk to you down the road. Thanks so much for the kind words.
Yeah, appreciate
and
it.
We will talk soon. Thanks so much.
Kevin, Jeff, thanks very much.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye for now.
This episode is sponsored by VTech. When you choose Star2Star and VTech for your communication needs, you get more than just a phone system. You're building a relationship with two telecommunications market leaders. No matter what your communication needs, VTech offers a comprehensive and diverse portfolio of desktop, mobility, and conference devices that scale from small offices to enterprise-level corporations. Peace of mind is important to you, and that's why VTech supports your business and Star2Star with North America-based support professionals that truly understand your market to give you the support you need. To learn more about partnering with Star2Star and VTech, visit star2star.com and vtechphones.com.
All right, that was an awesome interview.
Good fun.
Those
nice.
Guys,
actually, it reminded me. I can really remember Jeff from coming here on when he came on one of our partner
sessions.
Said
he was down here in 2015.
Yeah. That's not so long ago.
No, not too bad. I thought they had come to the road show in Chicago or Cleveland, but I guess I was wrong on that.
Looked very familiar. But yeah, great talking to them. Great getting their feedback on Star2Star and getting that subjective feedback from companies, our partners, which is, as you know, the lifeblood of our business. So,
and I love to hear them sort of discuss how they sell, right? I mean, I think they see those, you know, he was talking about, you know, the customer says, oh, you know, I'm scared of void because, and for him, that is like, that's like a piece of, you know, like,
oh, that's a gem, isn't it?
That's like a piece of steak, you know, you just like sink his teeth into. I mean, he's got that, like, you know, when he hears that, it's just like he can hear dollar signs going off in his head. I mean, it is a perfect opportunity.
Like I said to him, it must be so, I mean, it's so satisfying to be able to go into a customer like that that's not had any experience of any of the UCaaS features and functions that we take for granted today, and then just wax lyrical about those and tell them all about it. And I mean, it opens people's eyes to it, and it's that must be very satisfactory for them as a company. So
absolutely, I mean, it gives them a robust set of talking points that you know, a customer is way interested in, right? They're like, oh my god, I never knew this existed. This is great. Sign me up. Where do I, you know, give me the contract today. And it gives them, obviously, it gives them a happy customer too. So you know, like they said, they work with a lot of partners, and the we are their lifeblood. I mean, like they couldn't sell Star2Star, they couldn't sell their Cisco, you know, their Meraki SD-WAN solution or whatever the case is. They don't have a business, right? They don't have they don't have income. So I mean, it's exciting. It's also brings it into a little bit, you know, how serious
it
is
in the perspective
about, you know, yeah. how we work with our partners and how yeah. important it is to their lives that, you know, our service is up and running 100% of the time. And yeah. I think that's always, it always sort of like brings you back and it always sort of gives you more perspective, you know?
Yeah. And always nice to get a shout out for actual people
yeah.
within the business as well. So, you know, for our folks that were mentioned, on
yeah,
this
Laura
call.
Oberle, yeah. Britta Johnson. Yeah,
kudos to you guys yeah. that you've made a real impression on.
And they mentioned Kevin McGrath. I think Brad, sales engineer yeah. up in Chicago.
Brad Evans.
Yeah.
So it's wonderful to hear people being mentioned and the support organization that we kind of always take for granted. So nice to hear that. Thank you so much, Kevin and Jeff, for that
feedback. You know, the one thing I wasn't happy about is I didn't get to ask any questions about Honey Baked Ham. I really am interested in their business.
Yeah.
It's got to be a super seasonal business. Like, you don't just, like, go to Honey Baked Ham on the regular. Like, I mean, when would you go to Honey Baked Ham other than, like, Easter or Thanksgiving or Christmas? I mean, have you ever been to a Honey Baked Ham?
No.
It's quite an experience. I've been there once.
Oh, okay.
It was like for Christmas or something. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Who's just buying like giant pieces of ham like on a Tuesday? I got a lot of questions about this business.
Yeah. Well, maybe you should go back and send them, or maybe we can fill our listeners
like if
in.
If you want ham, you just go to Publix. I mean, I don't understand. You have a whole store centered around ham.
Yeah. I do like a nice bit of ham.
Honey Baked Ham, if you're listening, please send us some.
We'll be glad. No, I do. I love you know, a good piece of ham with some English mustard. None of that.
Oh,
kinda,
yeah, that sounds good.
None of that wussy stuff you put on it.
No, like, it's got some real
stuff. It's got some real
chunks in it.
To it,
yeah.
Yeah, it's got
some real. You can see the mustard, right? You can see the grains, the mustard seed.
Absolutely right.
Absolutely.
Put a bit of that on the end of your tongue. It's good for you.
Honey Baked Ham, if you want to send us some.
Good for children when they're teething, actually. Put that on. Wipe that around the gums. Have you got?
I have a teething child. I'm not
okay,
sure
I can
wipe mustard.
I can
the
give
gums.
You. A, I can give you a jar of English mustard. I'm sure that will.
A jar of Grey Poupon. That's French.
Grey Poupon.
Sorry
okay.
about that.
Oh no.
What's a good English mustard brand?
English mustard.
What's the name of the brand?
Coleman's.
Coleman's. Oh,
yeah.
I know that one. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Yellow label. You'll
yeah,
see
yeah,
it in
yeah,
the stores.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, in a squeezy kind of pot and what have you. And you can even get the powder. The powder's great. You can,
powder?
Yeah, they give it powder and you mix that up with a bit of water and what have you. It's
make pretty, your own mustard.
Yep, pretty potent stuff.
BYOM.
So I think the baby would do well. They'd forget all about the teething. But boy, with the mouth hurt. Hey, listeners out there, don't do this.
Don't give your baby spicy mustard. Well, Graham said I could give my baby
yeah,
spicy
Graham
mustard.
Said, heads in the cloud said that. Take the baby to the doctor. What do? I wiped his mouth with English mustard. Why is that? Well, somebody on the radio told me.
I think we're going to need like a warning on this episode.
Yeah.
Like, please do not try this at home.
Yeah, don't try this at home.
Yeah.
It's done by.
A lot of questions about the ham, though. I didn't get in.
Okay.
Maybe
well,
I'll send
can,
a follow-up.
We can maybe
on
follow
that.
Up on that another time.
Specific.
The dog was interesting, wasn't it? I couldn't even begin to remember after Breeze we were talking
Ridgeback?
About.
Ridgeback? I never heard of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Ridgeback. Yeah. Rhodesian Ridgeback and a chow.
Rhodesian Ridgeback.
Yeah, Rhodesian Ridgeback.
Isn't Rhodesia a country in Africa at some
yeah,
point?
Yes,
I don't
indeed.
Think it's called
yeah.
that anymore.
No, it's not.
Oh, is it South Africa? I should probably know that.
Let have your arm off, I'll tell you. I mean, I think we probably got the audio on this recording. It sounded like it was a, I don't know, wolf-like.
Yeah,
it was, sounded
it's a
big.
Dog. 40 pounds?
Yeah.
I wouldn't
that's
mess with that.
Not, that's not bad. Yeah, Buster's
I'm
only
a 40-pounder at home, too.
Mine's only
3.5.
Mine's only 18. 18.4, I think he weighed the scales today. Tip scales at 18.4.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. All right, well, that's enough for this episode.
All right, moving on.
Should
we
end digress. It?
Yes, I think so.
Let's move on.
Okay.
All right.
Your name is?
My name is David. What's yours?
My name's Graham.
Oh, that's good. Nice to meet you. All right. Thanks for listening to this episode of Heads in the Cloud.
Thank
we'll
you.
See you next time.
See you next time.